deserts to the sea, from the mountains to the snow, you are tuned in to the Johnny Punish Show, produced by the Veterans Today Network and BTN Radio, brought to you by HireVeterans.com, America's job board for U.S. veterans. Let's get this show rockin'!
I spent all my years fighting for a place in the sun, and I hit the ground running, thinking it was all.
Yeah, welcome to the Johnny Punish Show. Today we're going to discuss globalization, good or bad. I have on the Skype phone Charles Fox, manager of VT Live. That's VeteransTodayLive.com. He's a young man, and I wanted to get a young man's perspective on globalization. Charles, are you out there?
Yes, I'm right here. Nice to speak with you, Johnny. How's it going today?
Awesome. All right. Trump wants the U.S. to be isolationist. He's out there when he's not talking about nonsense like his gossip that Hillary Clinton needs a drug test and that the election's rigged and all the other gossip without evidence nonsense he talks about. Every once in a while, it leaks out that he's actually for basically the United States being an isolationist country. He wants to redo the trade deals. He says we are losing to every country. He wants to build walls, borders. He wants to make the U.S. insulated from the globalization world that we currently live in. Hillary says no to TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but her WikiLeaks demonstrate that she's an open borders free trade person. So we got two contrasting policies here. We got one that's basically going to continue globalization, continue to open borders and free trade up. And we have another person that wants to isolate the United States, redo the trade deals, and basically backtrack from where we have gone over the last 20, 30, 40 years. So the question I have for you as a young man, as a young millennial, is where do you stand on this and how do you see both sides of the issue?
Well, I don't think isolation is the answer to globalization. I like the idea of having more open borders and open trade agreements and things like that, of that nature. But however, I do think that things like the TPP being about 5,000 plus pages that it is, they overcomplicate things in a way that makes it hard for the average person to understand or even want to look into, because it's just too much information to process. And a lot of times when they do things like that where it's 5,000 plus pages to process, nobody ends up reading it, and there ends up being a lot of things that are swept under there, under the rug, that you didn't really see coming. And so I don't know if I would want to endorse TPP, because how am I going to endorse something that I don't even have the time to read? It's just too long. You know what I mean? So that's really how I stand on all these issues, is I think it's a good idea to move forward with globalization and better trade agreements amongst the countries, so that way we can all work together. Because there are certain things that certain countries do better than others, and it's good that we have open policies so that way we can openly trade with them and not hinder our global force, you know what I mean?
Well, critics, specifically a lot of Veterans Today readers and listeners, feel that globalization and open borders or free trade agreements are actually the evil New World Order that is coming down on every American and every human being, this one world government thing they talk about all the time. But how do you see it?
It's a two-sided coin, right? I mean, it really – I see their concerns too. I mean, it really is the evil New World Empire. But at the same time, it's got its pros and cons, you know? It's got its pros and cons. There's certain things that are going to get better, and there's certain things that are just not going to be as good, you know, where governments are going to be able to they're going to be able to have more power and more ability to monitor people easier, because there won't be as much restrictions as sovereign borders, you know, especially through the internet. I mean, there kind of already isn't anyways. The U.S. is already doing things like spying on people overseas. They use little weird loopholes to do it, you know, where they transfer the data. They'll have data set up on a cloud, on a server, and then they'll transfer it overseas and then transfer it back. And just by doing that, that means that they can spy on people that are just using the internet here in the United States. That's how they're able to go into your emails and things like that. So I could see both sides of the coin. It is the New World Empire crashing down on us, and they are going to have more power. But at the same time, you're going to have more power in the sense that maybe if the world goes the way the way of the EU, you'll be able to travel anywhere you want to go to. You won't have to get visas. You'll just be able to go anywhere, anytime. And it'll be a lot easier, and transportation will get better, and communication will get better as well. So it just depends on which way you're looking at it from, right? There are going to be things that you're going to lose out on freedom, and there are going to be things that you're going to gain newer freedoms and newer advantages.
Do you think they'll restrict our travel, or we'll get that eventual global passport?
I think eventually they're going to have to stop with the restriction of travel. Travel's just going to get too fast to the point where people are going to be working places that are about, you know, 6 to 7, 8 hours a day, or I mean 8 hours away, but they'll be able to get there within 15, 20 minutes commuting with new transportation technologies being put in place. So I think they're going to have to eventually get rid of that, because there's going to be some tech person that wants to still live in India, but yeah, he's going to do occasional business in San Francisco, and they're going to have to start handing out global passports so that way everyone can have the fluidity to be able to keep up with the world and how fast it goes nowadays.
Well, that's diametrically opposed to the Trump Trumpism, or what they're calling Trump isolationism, in the sense that, you know, he wants to build a border between the United States and Mexico to shut all the the foot traffic going by for work in terms of labor. And so what's your opinion about this wall that he's been selling for the last year and a half?
Well, there's actually already a Vin Diesel movie out on it. I think it's called Babylon AD, where the United States basically walls it off. Well, not exactly. It's not exactly. But you watch that movie and you could picture what like a Trump dictatorship would look like. You know, just America walling itself off and being isolationist from the rest of the world, hoarding all the technology, giving everybody the middle finger, and the rest of the world, you know, can fall into shambles. And you know, I don't know, but I don't really like the idea, because it goes against what's been going on this whole time, you know? The internet, it goes completely 180 degrees in the other direction. It's going back in time doesn't really help anybody. I don't really see the reason of... I could see how you want to, I guess, be able to somewhat track people coming into your country because there are people that do bad things, but I think all that stuff actually gets blown out of proportion, to be honest. I think the stats show that the world is a safer place over the last couple of decades. And just because people have more access to information, they see it and they think, oh my God, there's, you know, all this crime going on around me. When really, like, there's not that much crime going on. It's not as much as people think. You see the numbers and it seems like a lot, but when you're taking a sample size of 365 million or more, of course the numbers are going to look really scary, right? But I guess if you go per capita and in your little town or your city, it's not happening around every single street corner. You're not in fear of your life going to a Starbucks or a Carl's Jr. or the movie theaters, really, you know, despite the tragedies that have happened.
Well, let me just say this. I've seen, for example, just between the United States and Mexico and Canada over the last 20 years, you know, globalization, trade, open borders, free trade, NAFTA, whatever, has actually benefited Mexico. Now, I know Trump says that Mexico wins only and the U.S. doesn't, but I think that's a little bit of hyperbole. And I don't think he talks about the fact that, you know, labor goes back and forth. Mexico makes assembles the cars, but the United States actually engages in the high technology of the cars, whether it's engineering or other things, and they work together. Cars are no longer made in one factory. Here in Mexico, we now see that we didn't have 20 years ago, Home Depot, Costco, yeah. Subway, Burger King, McDonald's, Staples, geez, I can go on and on and on. On all the different franchises and different trade things that are going on to bring goods and services, better goods and services to Mexicans that didn't have them before. 20 years ago in Mexico, it was hard to get something of a good quality product. Everything was made in Mexico. Mexico was an isolationist country, basically under a dictatorship. And it was almost impossible to get anything that was any good. So, but now with importing all the American stuff, all the U.S. stuff and other stuff from other countries as well, like China and other places, Mexicans have more choices, have better products, better access to services. And overall, it's raised the middle classes of Mexico over the last 20 years in a significant way. So from a Mexican standpoint, globalization has been outstanding. Everybody has cell phones, smartphones, access to goods and services. And specifically, the American corporations are able to take advantage of that and export their goods and services to Mexico and bring their management know-how to Mexico as well. So it's benefiting Mexico in a big way. I'm assuming it's benefiting all other countries that used to be third world countries as well. Here in Latin America, we clearly see that wars have gone away. In the 80s, we've had a lot of wars, a lot of dictatorships and terrible things. But now Latin America is one of the most safest places on the planet. There's hardly any war anywhere. Even in Colombia, the war is over, basically. So, you know, globalization is actually helping greatly spread goods and services around the country. I think in the United States, what the complaint is that they didn't manage globalization as good as they should have. It's not a question of running away from it like Trump wants to do. It's a question of managing it better so that way the society in the United States benefits from globalization, but also manage it so they don't lose their traction and their standards of living like has been going on a little bit in the last 20 years. You see the middle class.
Yeah, so it doesn't crash land, right? Exactly. I mean, that's probably what they're freaking out most about, is that it crash landed on them very fast, which I think there's just no way to stop it. It was going to crash land no matter what. You could try and stop it, but it's like trying to catch an asteroid. You just can't catch it. It's going to crash land. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be things that go wrong because it's happening so fast, and there's no way to really slow it down. This is the future. This is what's going on. You know, no one predicted cell phones and the internet and being able to watch video from any part of the world wirelessly. You don't even need to be connected to a router anymore. There's routers everywhere. You're always connected to the internet with smartphones. I think also, you made a great point that Mexico and other countries that are developing, of course, I believe that they see more benefit than the U.S. There's a reason. It's like when you're playing sports and you're a person that's already been very, very good and playing at a high level. You can get better, but that person that's barely getting in the game is going to get better faster because they have so much more to improve, where you're barely trying to get the fine details of your game polished over, where they're improving. You know, they're improving 100 to 1,000% a day. They're just getting better and better and better. But eventually, they'll get to a point where they're on your level, and then it'll flatten out, and they'll be getting it better at the same rate as you. But it only makes sense that they're catching up. So of course, you could see that, oh, well, they get more benefits of these trade agreements. Yeah, at this moment in time, because you've been the one benefiting the most out of all this trade before all of this happened. You know what I mean? So I could see where people are worried, but at the same time, I could see where it's like, hey, guys, you've been at the forefront of all this. So, you know, like, where's all this entitlement coming from, you know? Like, can't other countries get the limelight a little bit for right now? Because they weren't even playing the game. So, of course, when you see them, they're like, oh, they're getting all the benefit from the coaching. Well, of course, you're going to get more benefit from the coaching. You already learned all this stuff before. You're already caught up. The U.S. is already one of the global powerhouses. So is China. Mexico and other countries Latin American countries especially, and even Middle Eastern countries and African countries, they're catching up, and there's nothing wrong with them catching up. And what happened to all this capitalism that people like to...
I would argue
this?
There's a lot right with catching up, and catching up is a good idea. We have 7 billion people on the planet, and we've got, and overall, poverty overall as a percentage of population is actually down in a big significant way. So globalization is affecting the world in a positive way. It's just that in the United States, there's a lot of tension and animosity because some people feel they're being left behind. In my view, I think Americans need to shut up, you know, get your elbows dirty, get in the dirt and start getting back to work. Stop whining about the whole thing and start, you know, being part of it instead of whining about it. Because the truth is, it's not going to go away no matter what Trump says. You can't just turn off globalization. It's not going to work. How do you turn it off? What does Trump think he's going
to
do?
Turn it off? To turn it off, you'd have to basically go anti-capitalism, which is hilarious because these guys make all their money being capitalists, ultra-capitalists, and Trump especially, being a very rich person, wants to shut down all these trade agreements and basically bring back jobs to the United States. But you know that he's not dumb. You know that he's a smart person in the way that he knows by doing all that, basically he's going to get rid of all the advantages that he's been having this whole time from having jobs being overseas, from being able to pay lesser wages for certain types of jobs. You know, even he's talked about it himself, about how it was hard to find someone to make his Make America Great Again hats there in America, because it would be hypocritical to buy them made somewhere else, right? But it's hard because the fact that people in America, the cost of living has gone up too much. It's inflated. And I think that that's even a better reason for globalization to go up. Because as places like Mexico and India and China and other countries get better, the cost of living there is going to go higher. It's going to take a little while to catch up, but it's going to go up and up and up. And eventually, the United States, the cost of living is probably going to not go down, but it's not going to go up at the same rate. So then eventually, the U.S. will be on the same playing field again. And that's when they'll start seeing the power shift.
I think that's what the global leaders are betting on and planning on. I just think that that's where it's going. The question is, are we going to be an evil one world order or going to be a benevolent globalized world? As a globalist that I am, I'm not a evil one world order person. I'm a free trade global person that believes in the newly connected world. But I believe that we should be activists. It should be pro-humanity, not anti-humanity. And that's the difference between the evil one world order, which would be anti-humanity, and this new global world, which is newly connected, anti-bigotry, anti-racism, judging people on the basis of their character around the world, not the color of their skin, and providing, making sure that we have goods and services that travel around the world in easier fashion so that they're available to all the people around the world, so that we live a better standard of living globally. I've been saying that we should be proud of our city, proud of our country, proud of our state, but we should also pledge allegiance to the earth and every human being on it. Because once we do that, then we have a bigger perspective on how we see the world. This idea that the American people are great and no one else is and no one else should be is an antiquated view of the world. It's a 20th century, you know, entitlement view. I don't think that's going to benefit us moving forward. I think the youth are not going to accept it. I understand all the older folk that have a 20th century view. I just think that's a losing bet, and I don't think that's where we're going. I think where we're going is towards even more connectivity, more globalization. The question is, how do we manage it? How do we make it better? How do we make it so that the United States of America soft lands it a little bit better so they don't feel so left out? How do they get more assertive? How do they get more education? How do they be more competitive instead of whining about how the world has hurt them? The world hasn't hurt them. The world is existing. You know, here we are in the world. What do you think?
I think it's good, but I do think that it's definitely going to bring some of its one world government. That is coming. That's coming hard. There's no stopping that. They are pushing that, and there's the reason why their trade agreements are so long, and they have many passages in them that have some pretty scary laws that they're trying to pass, things that they want to have more control. That's just plain and simple. They want to have more control, and they're going to use good things and put bad things in those same trade agreements, so that way a good thing can also benefit them in the way that they want, which is, I think, many of them want more security, more they want to be able to control the internet a lot more. I think the internet scares them, and they don't like that there's so much freedom in it right now.
WikiLeaks leaked out the Clinton hacked emails, thousands and thousands and thousands of emails. And somebody, according to reports, Ecuador shut off their, at the embassy, shut off their internet access to Julian Assange. I don't know if that's going to stop the leaks, but I don't know if it's a one-man operation that WikiLeaks. I don't think it is. But what do you think about that? You know, this WikiLeaks thing, this transparency, or you know, is it good or bad?
Well, regardless of what happens and what they're able to actually effectively do, it's just the intent. You can see that they do not like this. They don't want to have free spreading of information when it embarrasses them, and when it makes them look bad, which is really bad, because, you know, they claim a lot of times in their speeches that they want to have transparency and all these things, but they only want transparency when it's already pre-filtered and it makes them look good. But as soon as it's something that doesn't show their best side, all of a sudden they want to censor it and get it off the internet, and they want to shut down your internet and shut down any way of spreading it and put sanctions or whatever they can do to stop it, because they want to project an image of themselves, and they don't want anybody to really see the full true picture, which is, I think, disgraceful. I don't like that whole idea, but you can just see what their intentions, that everything that they do, I mean, not everything, but a lot of things that they do, there's always that ulterior motive of being able to just grab a little bit of more control, just a little bit more, just slowly mission creep their way into the eventually controlling the whole thing and being able to do whatever they want, which they pretty much do control it, but not 100% yet, the internet. I'm not really sure what the name is, but you might be able to remember the name, but they were trying to pass a law on the internet not too recently, or actually kind of recently. It was going to slow down the speeds of internet. Do you remember what that law was called?
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the law. We have to look that up. But yeah, I remember that. They were trying to make it faster for the corporations and slower for everybody else.
Yeah, net neutrality is what I was looking for. They were trying to pass the net neutrality laws, I think. And being able to basically give certain companies faster speeds, guaranteed faster speeds, like Netflix and things like that. Basically extorting those companies, because they know that their business relies on streaming speeds, extort them to pay more money, and then smaller companies, when they want to start out, they won't be able to pay those fees, and therefore people streaming on their websites will stream at a slower speed, which effectively kicks them out of business. So there's things like that that is happening that I could see them trying to use against us, but like you said, we just have to be globally conscious and continue to fight back and push back on those things. And I hope we can push for some shorter agreements, you know, like instead of 5,000 pages, maybe make it 30 pages. I mean, we shouldn't have a trade agreement be longer than a Harry Potter book. I mean, who has time to read those types of things? They're not entertaining anyways. And on top of it, you got to make it as long as a Game of Thrones book. And it's not an audiobook. You got to read it. So, I mean, if you're going to do that, you should have someone hired to at least make it an audiobook, so that way someone can read it to you. You know, you can listen to it while you're in the car or something, because I don't even know how congressmen read it.
See, that's a good suggestion. I like it. So overall, globalization, good or bad?
I got to say, I think that the good outweighs the bad. And I think there's no way to stop it anyways, so we might as well just accept it and continue moving forward with trying to soft land it in a better way so that way less people get hurt. Because no matter what you do, whether you go left or right, when there's 7 billion people on the planet, there's whatever decision you make, people are going to get hurt. So you just try and make the best decisions possible and minimize the damage. And so I think that's what we have to do is just, you know, maybe pump the brakes on certain parts of globalization just a little bit and just try and navigate it slowly. But also understand that there's no stopping it. It's coming. And we might as well just get with it and just be aware of what's going on around us and protest certain things that we need to that are going to have drastic devastation, you know, because there are certain things that they will pass that we might not see as being bad because they'll pass it under the guise of security or some other umbrella. And we got to be aware
like,
of those
like
types
the freedom
of
law or something.
Yeah, you know, the freedom law means that we can detain you indefinitely, like, you know, things like that. But it's for your freedom.
Exactly. Okay, I want to change the subject real quick. As the manager of VeteransTodayLive.com, I wanted to hear what you're doing and what's your plans for the next year. I want you to tell listeners what's happening with VeteransTodayLive.com. What's going on?
So right now our plan is we want to increase our content and get more new shows up there, more new shows that talk about the things that we just talked about in our show today, just talking about the economy, talking about just all the issues facing us today, and just keep getting that good word out. So if there's anybody listening right now that wants to create their own podcast and wants to talk about the issues facing us today, definitely send us an email, go to VT Live, and you'll be able to find our contact information through there. We want to expand our YouTube channel. We created a YouTube channel, but we haven't gotten on there yet. But that's the next place where we want to expand and start maybe doing more video in the next year. And that's basically it. Just more content, more YouTube, and spreading our wings.
Well, let me just say that it's actually, with the technology today, it's really easy to have a podcast. If you know how to use Skype, all you have to do is install a little program that you get from the internet. It's called MP3 Skype Recorder. Just type that in on Google, MP3 Skype Recorder, download, and you download this little app. You install it. It automatically sets up. You don't have to really do anything. I mean, and that's it. It automatically records your Skype calls. So I'm recording this phone call using MP3 Skype Recorder, and that's how we're doing it. The key is to make sure that you have a good computer. You know, your mic works. In your case, you're probably in a room right now that's a little tingy, so make sure that you're in a good room that has good sound waves. But other than that, it's really that easy. It's not difficult at all. So the technology is amazing, and it makes it so it's easy to broadcast. So on that note, Charles, I want to say thank you for appearing on the Johnny Punish Show and sharing your thoughts on globalization and specifically sharing your thoughts on the VeteransTodayLive.com site, which is our new broadcast site for Veterans Today. It's been a pleasure to have you on. You're very articulate for a young man. As a millennial, it's great to hear your perspective because the millennials are the future and we're looking forward to it. So again, thank you for appearing on the show.
Yes, of course. I always appreciate it. And just remember, it's always good to hear from us, right? Someday, someone my age is not going to be my age. They're going to be 45, 50, and they're going to be the ones getting elected president and making law changes.
Maybe it'll be you. Okay, yeah. Thanks for appearing. Have a
good day, America. From the deserts to the sea, from the mountains to the snow, this concludes today's Johnny Punish Show. Produced by the Veterans Today Network and VTN Radio. Brought to you by HireVeterans.com, America's job board for U.S. veterans. I'm your host, Johnny Punish, wishing you an amazing day. Until we meet again.
I spent all my years fighting for a place in the sun. Anti-hero.